Well, hello and oh shoot.
Fuck ball.
Well, hello everyone and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
And I'm Ian Boothby. That was a rough start. That was too bad.
That's all right. That's the first time.
No, things can only
back.
Yeah, things can only go up from here. It's absolutely fine. We're recording this at the Hell Kitty Studios in Vancouver, British Columbia. You might be able to hear some traffic. That's because we're doing this in the middle of the road.
Yes, in the middle of the street. We've set up some chairs and a desk and a microphone, and we actually have some assignment. A bay flagman.
Yes.
They're set up around us. They're slowing down the traffic. So if there's any honking, you'll know why.
And we're funding this podcast with me washing cars of people that don't want their cars washed.
In a bikini.
Yeah. That's... All right. However we want to play it. So we are called the Sneaky Dragon Podcast. Dave came up with that name. And I wanted to start this off by asking, Dave, what's your favorite fictional dragon?
Favorite fictional dragon would have to be... That's a good question. I guess it would have to be Smaug, the dragon from The Hobbit.
Now, my dad gave me that book when I was a kid and said, you should read this, you'd love it. I didn't read it, but I drew that dragon on the cover over and over again, so I'm very familiar with that. He likes gold.
Okay.
He likes sleeping on a giant bed of comfortable gold.
So it was the classic paperback cover of the dragon laying amongst the treasure in his cave.
Right, after eating Scrooge McDuck.
That's right. He was swimming in Smaug's treasure. Smaug got a little fed up with that.
As you would.
Oh, of course.
Roasted him. Ate him.
And, you know, like if you set yourself a bath and you came in and someone else was in the bath, you would be upset, right? That you had run a bath and someone else was using your...
Though, say you live in a more rural area than I do.
Mm-hmm.
If you ran a bath and you go into your bathroom and you're ready, I'm ready for my hot bath after my hard day of work. Well, you do a hard day of work. I less so. And you saw a duck in the bath.
Mm-hmm.
That would be adorable. It'd be a little disturbing, but it'd be adorable.
I don't know if it would be adorable, because when you say that to me, then I just think of, like, dirt. Because, you know, a duck.
Yeah, the old expression, you dirty duck. Yeah.
Dirty duck.
That's right. When you think ducks, you think the filthiest bird there is.
Well, that's where the expression came from, you dirty duck. They're well known for their filthiness, I think. And I just think, even if you took the duck out and you went, oh, that's cute, I'll just take the duck out, put it outside, I don't know how it got in the house. You just couldn't go back and jump in the bath.
Well, okay, I'm not advocating that
the
you
water
go.
Would be green.
I'm not advocating that you go back into the bath after you took the duck out, because then you would get duck itch, which because ducks again are the filthiest bird.
Mm-hmm.
Penguin, the cleanest bird,
mm-hmm.
because it's in the Arctic and the dirt freezes and flakes off. It does not have it doesn't have any ability to attach,
exactly.
And also they swim frequently. But a duck. That is a filthy, filthy bird.
And the pelican is the bird most like a cupboard.
Mm-hmm. That's a pelican, God's cupboard. That's what they used to teach us in Sunday school.
So going back to Smaug, the most interesting dragon, how old were you when your dad recommended you read?
I would say I was still in Montreal, so I would say I'd probably be about eight years old. I think he was like, enough of them comics, read this instead.
Okay, because I had a similar experience. I actually was in grade 6.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no idea how old I was then. I can only think in terms of grade at that age.
Okay, I could tell you were 11, but...
Okay. Probably 11.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a librarian. You know, I went to the library and I said, I'm looking for a book to read. And can you recommend anything? And she said, well, I think that you'll really like this book. And she gave me The Hobbit. And I tried to read it and it was so boring. And it was just awful. And so I didn't read it. I just took it back to the library. But, you know, you kind of keep hearing about The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings, you know, as you do, because people are always talking about it everywhere you go.
Yeah, a lot of talk on the street as a kid.
Get on the bus, people talking about it behind you, like, oh, I wonder what they're talking about. Frodo and, oh, Frodo would be, well, anyway. So
Bilbo?
Bilbo and...
And, Hobo.
And I can't remember
the any... The homeless one.
It's been years since I read it. I don't remember any names in it. But,
They all end in O, I believe.
I think the dwarves end in inn.
Okay. Because what do you call the hobbits? They're hobbits, so they have Italian names. All of them, all names that would work for Italian men.
That's right, because they all eat gelato.
That's right.
In front of the.
In fact, gelato was I think Bilbo's grandfather.
That's right, Gelato Baggins. And
real fat guy.
But I heard about it over and over again, so I tried it again. And I think I was probably in grade 7 or grade 8, and I reread it. And I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And my advice to anyone who wants to read The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings is push on through. Mm-hmm. Because they are so boring at the start. It feels like they will never get going.
Well, when I first... my dad also gave me... he did give me Lord of the Rings. I've got... I got them in the office, actually. Mm-hmm. I think they're first editions. But when you open it up, there's maps. And nice and closed. That was the end of me for books. It was really? Just like, no, look, I can read a book, but I don't want a map. Like, I need a map now, first of all? Like, forget it. And then if you give me, like, a list of terms that I have to learn first before I enter the book, it's just it's fine. I can picture it in my head.
Okay, well, see, I'm the exact opposite then, because I had the map, I had a photocopy of the map on my wall, and I colored this map, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and I had it on the wall.
That's fine.
And I learned to write things in Elven, so I could write in that sort of made-up, runish...
I don't want to pick nits here, but is it Elven or Elvish?
Maybe it's Elvish.
Very good, okay.
Elvish especially.
I can't endorse that joke at all.
He was in Lord of the Rings. He's right there at that elf place that I can't remember the name of.
Yeah, it does sound like a book you really enjoyed. Rivendell. I know more about it than you did. I've never read the thing.
No, I just said Rivendell.
In fact, I was one of those people when I went to see the first Lord of the Rings movie. I did not know how... Like, I thought they would throw the ring in the volcano by the end of that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Lisa was so upset when that movie ended, and it was just...
Oh, yeah, there was a bunch of us. They were just like...
It didn't end?
Yeah, they're on a boat?
I'm like, there's two more movies. That's what she said.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, that was no good.
I was a huge fan. In fact, I also bought the National Lampoon's parody, Board of the Rings, which I also... And I love that book. I love that book so much. I remember lending it to a person who was a huge Lord of the Rings fan, and he had like a Lord of the Rings quiz book, and mm-hmm. he had all these trivia questions about Lord of the Rings. And I gave him the...
Question number one, do they throw the ring in the first book?
In the first book.
The answer, no.
And... So I gave it to him, and then a couple days later, he gave it back to me, and I was like, what do you think of it? What do you think of it? And he had no, he didn't answer. He just handed it back to me and shook his head. It's like, too far. Too soon. I don't know what his reaction was. It was inexplicable. It was just like, I offended him. It's like I gave him like a parody of the Bible.
Like, too soon. How much time will have to have passed from the death of Gollum until...
I said, you want to say, Tolkien's dead. He doesn't care.
He might. I can't judge whether he would have cared or not.
I tried to reread Lord of the Rings, and I have to say that it wasn't that funny. As an adult. As a teenager... Hilarious.
Well, that's how I learned about most movies when I was a kid, was the Mad Magazine parodies. Yeah. So, like, I only recently watched Godfather for the first time, and I knew it all because, it's been so well parodied. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I could talk about it because I read the Mad Magazine.
The SCTV.
Yeah. And every third episode of The Simpsons seemed to have, like, a Godfather's joke in as well.
The problem for me with the SCTV one was that I knew the Godfather really well. But I did not know Mr. Ed. So I didn't get the Wilbur, like the horse talking to him in the bed and calling him Wilbur. I was like, what is this talking horse? Like, this is ridiculous. So
SCTV is good in that you get one aspect of it, and then later you know. Mm-hmm. I forget the one they did that was a parody of Going Down the Road, but it's probably one of mm-hmm. my favorites.
Yeah.
But I liked it just on its own. I didn't know what it was a parody of.
Yeah.
And then when you see the movie, you're like, oh my God.
All right, so apparently our conversation was too hot for GarageBand to handle. So Ian, you were talking about the parody of Going Down the Road, the SCTV.
Oh, I was just saying that I learned most of my movie knowledge from SCTV and Mad Magazine. And yeah, I remember watching the parody of Going Down the Road they did on SCTV mm-hmm. and loving it as just what it was, but not knowing what the movie was. And then later on, Jane Eastwood's in both, and it was just so brilliant. I met Jane Eastwood like a couple of years ago, and there's no way to express when you meet someone who has done something that meant something to you. You just don't want to be creepy, but all you want to do is just hug them for way too long.
Yes.
So I think I ended up awkwardly flirting with her somehow. But I think it was okay.
Because that was better.
Well,
it's so much better to awkwardly flirt than to awkwardly.
Well, she's in a group called Women Fully Clothed.
Okay.
And it was like, and she went, and I think she said something like, because you wouldn't want to see this naked. And I went, sounds fine by me. Or something. Like, okay. I don't know what. So, I'm just being polite for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And there you go. But I really just wanted to go, you're brilliant in that. The best SCTV episode. Yeah. It's something I run into when I meet people in comics all the time that have done stories that meant a lot to me in the past, and you just want to be cool about it, but at the same time, you just want to, like, just go, ah, you.
Okay, so let's take this back to the beginning.
Okay.
And your favorite dragon?
Oh, the LeChoy dragon.
LeChoy dragon.
Yes. The LeChoy, and this is a recent my favorite dragon.
Okay.
It's before this, I would say, again, just getting nerdily, probably Lockheed from the X-Men. I like that dragon. He's a cute little dragon. But Jim Henson did a series of ads for LeChoy, and it was like a full-size dragon, kind of a big bird style.
Kind of Ralph's voice.
Yeah, well, he was just always busting up the place, and great.
Those are the greatest, but those other, the chip commercials that they did?
Which one was the chip ones?
Do you like these, or there's a bread, it's like either for bread or for chips.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, do you eat the product? No, I don't. Kill with cannon.
That's right. They would just like shoot the person who didn't eat it. It was like, yeah. It was like, if you thought like, would you like a nice Hawaiian punch was bad.
<That's>
it's
right.
Just like, no. If you said you didn't eat this product, you would be murdered. It was really a direct message.
The LeChoy dragon. Well, that's probably closer in spirit to Sneaky Dragon than Smaug, really.
Mm-hmm.
Smaug's kind of an obnoxious jerk.
And we're kind of good-natured, clumsy types.
That's right. That also kill and eat maidens.
Well, I don't think the LeChoy dragon ever did. Oh, you're talking just like our specific dragon?
Our dragon.
All right, that's a fair point. Speaking, though, you're right. He did have Rolf's voice.
Mm-hmm.
Which reminds me of something that used to bug me on The Muppet Show as a kid. Which, all this is like stuff about me as a kid. It's like, I guess all, you know what, all podcasts turn into therapy.
Yes, that's right.
Pretty much. Rolf played piano, mm-hmm. and he had that voice. And then you had Dr. Teeth,
yeah.
who also played piano, mm-hmm. and had the same voice.
Slightly rougher, but similar.
Slightly rougher, but almost exactly the same voice.
Jim Henson,
yeah, it just felt like what. But Jim Henson had a bit of a range to him. He mm-hmm. could do a bunch of stuff, and it just kind of bothered me as a kid that like one, you got two piano players. Well, you don't need that. You don't have two saxophone mm-hmm. players. You don't have two drummers, but you have two piano players. That seems a little wrong. And then to have them both have the same voice, no. And again, if you're talking to my 7-year-old self here.
Okay, I can understand. In fact, I remember the first special because Dr. Teeth was before it was the Muppet Show. There was like a special, and they were one of the aspects of the show.
Oh, I didn't know this.
And I remember it being kind of disturbing. This kind of rock band. It just seemed wrong. It's as wrong as the rock band in the Evan Otter's Christmas special.
Nightmare, Smoky Mountain,
Body Belly
Boogie,
yes.
Booger,
yes.
Nightmare Band.
It's wrong partly because the music's terrible, because they're trying to parody like a hard rock group.
Yeah.
So there's no love in the music. It's, you know what I mean? I don't know if that's the same with Dr. Teeth, but I just remember feeling that way about Emmett Otter. But it just seemed kind of, I don't know. We can talk about the Muppet movie because none of us have seen it, so we can't spoil it for anyone.
Right, the new Muppet movie we haven't seen.
Which, my first thing I saw of it was the trailer, and I didn't know it was for the Muppet movie. I just saw the trailer, and when, did you see the one, the kind of the teaser one that makes it look like it's a romantic comedy?
Yes, I saw that one, yeah.
And so when the Muppets show up, you're super excited, like too excited, like, you know, too, shouldn't be that excited considering how old you are. But, you know, the Muppets speak to our generation way more than they speak to anyone else's generation. So, like, I think there's some kind of drop-off point for interest in the Muppets.
Yeah, it's They did lose everybody for a while there, because there was diminishing returns on the Muppet movies as they progressed.
Yeah.
You know, your Muppet Caper, that has something in it. You know, Muppets Take Manhattan. I'm with you.
It's okay.
You know, you're getting to you get into space. Yeah. You know, your Christmas carols. You're like, okay, well, I don't know if I need a Treasure Island.
They're just kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, it's like they were trying. Okay, this is a weird example of what went wrong.
Okay.
But there used to be a TV show on called Birds of Prey, and the Birds of Prey TV show was a bit of a flawed TV show. The idea was Batman has quit Gotham City. He's left.
Bastard.
Yeah, he just went, I've had enough of this. I'm gone. Which, like, off the top is like, that's weird.
He has a private income.
That's true. He's doing.
He doesn't need to do that.
No. Well, I don't think he's Batman for the cash.
He just wants to quit. He can just leave any time.
That is true. The original Batman, he did work on tips.
He'd be the most annoying superhero.
Yeah. He would land, stop a mugging, and then thank you, Batman. And then he'd have his hand out for an awkwardly long period of time until someone would give him a couple of bucks.
If the Legion of Superheroes were eating together, he'd always be the guy like, I've got this. With a kind of a smirk, right? Like,
right.
You guys can't afford it. Right?
Which is weird, because they're in the future, and he's in the present. But that's fair enough.
I don't even know what that means, but anyway.
Well, the Legion of Superheroes takes place thousands of years from
sorry.
Now.
Whatever it's called.
Are you talking the Justice League?
Okay, yes.
Absolutely, nothing wrong with that. No, it's a fine joke with the Justice League. As I always like to say with the Justice League, if you guys are so great, how come all your parents are dead? Huh? Why?
Exactly.
Every one of them.
Dramatic.
Yeah. But the show Birds of Prey, the idea was Batman has taken off for unknown reasons. Joker has shot Batgirl. Now she's in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got like a gal who's Black Canary. In Black Canary in the comics, she's got a sonic scream, mm-hmm. all this kind of thing. This Black Canary, I think, had psychic powers when she touched you because it was sexier for a girl to touch mm-hmm. you. And then the weird...
Shrieking.
Yeah, and then this is a side wrong thing. Batman and Catwoman had a daughter... And she was Helena. She was the Huntress, and they always said she's half powered, she's half superpowered,
mm-hmm.
and it's like they went like half meta. You can't be half superpowered. Yeah. She's got superpowers.
Yeah.
You know, she's not like in the daytime she doesn't, and in the nighttime she does.
Only on one side she had superpowers.
That's right. If you get her on the left side, you can just like knock her out.
Vulnerable as hell.
Well, that should be Two Faces. You know what? If you're fighting Two Face, hit the bad side. You know,
why?
There, but because it's like...
That's the side that's doing villainous things. The other side is innocent.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because you're beating up the wrong guy.
They should just put him half in jail. Like they,
the other half?
It's just on
the other desk. Has a desk job.
That's right.
And the other guy
well, what they do, they hire him as a prison guard. So like half of him is like in the prison and half of him is outside of the prison. But we digress. My problem with the show was... You've got the Batman world, and the Batman world is interesting, but they decided that X-Men were popular at the time,
okay.
And so they had all these mutant kids going around, and because Helena was like half superpowered.
Who's Helena? Oh, she, yeah, the little girl.
Yeah, she, you know, they made it all X-Men-y, and it was like, look, you don't have to be X-Men. You're Batman. You're cool enough. You don't have to pretend to be X-Men to pander.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it felt like with the Muppets, which is like, hey, Muppets, you don't have to be Treasure Island, man.
Yeah.
We like you. You're Muppets.
Yeah.
It's like, how about sci-fi? Calm down. It's like a friend just wearing new outfits all the time and trying to look like me now. It's
mm-hmm.
just like, you're fine.
So then it's kind of interesting that this movie looks like a return to the looking, you know, becoming stars plot of like the original Muppet movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But it also really goes like it's an interesting acknowledgement that they went way off track. Like it feels that way from the trailers that just like, yeah, the Muppets have gone away and lost their purpose and lost their way, and it's like
mm-hmm.
that's a big thing to say. You know, for any characters that you've got that much licensing for, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think you'd ever see Bugs Bunny come on and just go, hey guys, my last couple of I did some Space Jam. Whoa, guys, I'm sorry. And that's my Bugs Bunny impression, by the way. Bugs Bunny's like, hey, Doc, whoa, hey, easy, Elmer, whoa, what's with the gun? Yikes!
No, that's, what is that? Bugs Bunny is played by Frank Sinatra, is that your...
Sure.
Ring? Hey,
sure.
What's up, Doc?
Fix this in editing to make it sound like Frank Sinatra, if you can. But I think...
That's my Frank Sinatra, by the way.
I think
also
what...
Also no good.
I think what also has happened is enough time has passed with Jim Henson passing away mm-hmm. that the voice doesn't sound, like Kermit's voice yeah. doesn't sound weird.
But you know, it's not Frank Oz doing Miss Piggy.
No, no. But he hasn't been doing it for a long time anyway. There was a big thing about Frank Oz didn't like the concept and didn't like the film and didn't like the way it was going.
Well, he's a jerk.
Oh, well, according to Marlon Brando, yeah, those guys didn't get along, but that's a completely other story. That's way too tangenty. Another time for that.
According to Yoda, no good he is. That's my Yoda impersonation, by the way. We'll fix that in editing, too.
Please do. But I think, actually, with the Bugs Bunny thing, it reminded me of Bugs Bunny, in that no one, like, Bugs Bunny... sounds wrong when you see him in modern, but you build up a tolerance. You go, like, sometimes Bugs Bunny sounds like this, sometimes Bugs Bunny sounds like he should. Sometimes Kermit sounds like this, and sometimes Kermit and the old thing sounds like he should. Mm-hmm. You know, when, again, we're going to go back to when we were kids. Jeez, every time we say when we were kids, take a drink, for crying out loud. But, like, you know, when you were watching Flintstones, Barney, he had two voices. Sometimes he sounds like this guy, sometimes he sounds like this guy. And with Simpsons, sometimes Homer sounds like this, sometimes Homer sounds like this. And I think people now, you know, especially kids, yeah, they're cool with it. Sometimes characters have multiple voices. It's fine.
Oh, that's true. I kind of forgot about Homer Simpson's voice changing.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is, unlike with, say, Barney, which is a change of actors,
mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I guess the original one was asking for too much money.
I think that was... I'm trying to think if it was Mel Blanc first or if it was Mel Blanc second.
I don't know. I never liked the Flintstones.
Okay.
So I hardly ever watched it as a kid.
That's... We watched it, but then again, we had two channels. So it wasn't like, I don't like it. What am I going to do as a kid? Not watch TV?
We had three.
Oh, did you?
No, we had more than that. We had all 12 channels or whatever you got.
Yeah.
Had the American channels.
Tell that to someone today. We had all 12 channels. Don't want to brag.
But, well, I remember how exciting it was when we were given a converter, and I was able to...
And then we all became Catholic.
I was able to... That's right. Converter. They just convert us all the time. One day we were Catholic, next day we were Jewish. It's like, oh, Mary, oh, Oiga, Volt.
Now that's a good Kermit.
Hi-ho, Kermit the... We'll fix that in editing too. Just put in some. No, I remember we went. You go up to channel 28, and find there was nothing in between it.
Uh huh.
Like, you just went up through all these channels, and you got to 28, which played at that time it was quite exciting. After school, it played Land of the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible show.
Mm-hmm.
Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible show.
I disagree. Okay.
Bonanza.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah, it is what it is. It's no Gunsmoke. All right.
Do you think Batman's a good show?
Batman?
Yeah.
The Adam West Batman?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some good episodes of that.
Hmm.
By the time Batgirl shows up, they've run out of gas. But you know, there's some. We can we'll rewatch it. The problem, it hasn't come out on. I don't think it's come out on DVD or anything. You haven't watched it in a while. I think you'd enjoy it.
Okay. It's been a while. I'll admit that.
Yeah. There's a period of time you go
it
through.
Seems
I think
so exciting that those shows were.
Yeah, but
the extra shows.
There is a period of time you go through when campy humor is stupid humor, and you might build up a real resistance that maybe you still won't like it now. You know, I didn't write the shows. I've got no stock in it. But I remember as a kid take a drink. My watching it with my parents, and it was weird because I'd be so frightened about something that was going to happen to Batman, mm-hmm. and they'd be laughing. And there was one episode that horrified me where Robin got eaten by this giant clam, and it just terrified me. Yeah. And like last week, a burlesque dancer in town that I know was talking about like making a giant clam costume, and it just reminded me of that.
Yeah.
And I went, I just went online to see if I could find the clip of Robin in that situation, and I did look at it, and it's a terrifying clam.
It's like, still terrifying.
Oh, it's a terrifying clam. Like they
can't move.
Well, this one could. This one got closer, it had fangs, and then it also had some business on the inside of it.
What, was this a Sid and Marty Croft Batman?
it was pre-Croft. Oh. It was pre-Croft. There's a lot of terrifying things on Sid and Marty Croft as well.
Yeah, those things from Land of the Lost.
Yeah, oh, I just meant all the campy acting.
That's you. Yes, Martha... What's her name? Martha...
Oh, Martha Ray? Plimpton?
Martha Ray.
Martha Ray, that's Martha right. Ray. Martha Ray, denture wearer. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, she was on the Bugaloos.
Terrifying. And then yeah. Billy something or other, who was Witchy Poo.
Yeah. And she, yeah, she was like, and, but she was also on Lidsville. But she was a dude on Lidsville, which again was weird to me back then. Just going, well, no, she's it's a woman, but wait, it's a guy, but wait, the name's Billy. Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Once again, it's been a long time since I've seen any of those shows.
Well, they're all right at your fingertips on the internet.
Oh well, I'll watch them now. What's curious is the other day I was talking about the Muppets, and both and the girls brought up the disgusting fact that the Cookie Monster is now the Veggie Monster.
I don't think he really is. I think like that he does. They don't call him the Veggie Monster.
He doesn't eat cookies anymore.
Okay. Well, he does in the new toy that's out this Christmas.
Is that right?
The big toy they're pushing. So
maybe
he's got cookies. I know what you mean though. Like there's a. Every so often, there's like news stories which are like, "Well, they're ruining the Sesame Street.
Okay.
Cookie Monster's a veggie monster. All the Muppets are starving." And I know the big thing right now is Fox News is getting upset because they're going at because whatever the oil tycoon in the movie is, you know, why are they so anti big business? The Muppets. Well, they're not. I think they're owned by Disney. They're not anti-big business. They're just you got to pick a villain. You got to have them be a villain of something.
Yeah.
You know, unless you want the Muppets fighting the Nazis.
I think that's be good.
That actually would not be bad. There is something to that.
But, okay, now I'm imagining like Marionette Kermit.
You know, old-timey Kermit
walking through a forest. You know, with a machine gun.
Yeah. Yeah,
with like
black and white.
Marionette Fozzie beside him, like riding a bike.
Right. Oh, okay, but Fozzie, if it's the 40s, he's a bad stereotype.
Okay.
that doesn't play now. That he used to have a very different voice that I'm not going to do right now. And Miss Piggy was a lot sexier back then. Mm-hmm. And I could see them all as marionettes. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, because, you know, they do marionette elements in Muppets, like...
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kermit riding the bike, or
well, that's what makes them Muppets and not puppets. Is that they use other methods, not just hand up them.
Okay,
they have the sticks, and they use other techniques, and that's what merges. I'm sorry, going back to World War II Muppets, I can see Animal as like the sidekick of whatever the head Nazi is. Mad Harry, the bomber guy. Mm-hmm. He's definitely on that side.
So you could have like kind of a Guns of Navarone, where they're like a plucky band, a plucky commando unit.
Yeah,
who are going behind enemy lines to blow something up. Harry is your
munitions. Oh, you're putting him on the good guy side now.
Yeah.
Is what you're doing.
Oh,
okay,
yeah,
I'll flip that too. Harry's on the good guy side. Then Animal's the guy who's. You know what you do with Animal?
You have to have Animal on the good guy.
Okay,
side.
Okay. But here's what you do with Animal then. Animal is a clean cut soldier up until like he loses it. Like that's all post traumatic stress that he's going through now. Right. So he's like well combed hair.
Yeah.
He's just really quiet. Keeps to himself.
But have you ever seen movies like Kelly's Heroes?
Mm-hmm.
Where like it's supposed to be World War II, but everyone looks like hippies.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're like, what kind of? Where was all the like discipline in this unit? So there's no sergeant to get mad at people for not shaving for 6 months, so they could grow like a biker mustache and have hair down past their collar, or the actors were so vain that they were, you know, well, it's gonna be an army movie, okay, or a war movie, army movie. It's gonna be a war movie. Okay, that sounds good. So you know, you have to cut your hair. You don't have to cut it short because you're in the army. No. I'm not cutting it short. That's the opposite of method actor.
Well, that's like that's what I like to call the floating 70s. And if you look at certain movies or sci-fi films, the 70s float around through history. And there's periods of like the 40s where all of a sudden everyone seemed to be very 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And there's periods in the future. If you look at almost any post-apocalyptic future, that everyone gets really 70s. They grow their hair.
Yeah,
you know, Logan's run length.
Burns.
That's right. Get the nice long sideburns. Yeah, you get the flare trousers. That's all coming back. But then, even farther in the future, you get your Star Trek future, and then it's going back to the 60s. And everyone's going to have nice short hair. Beehives are going to come back.
Mini
all the technology is going backwards. Computers are going to get worse.
I'm looking forward to miniskirts coming back like they have in Star Trek. I've only seen two Star Trek, so I can't really speak to that future.
Like two Star Trek movies or two Star Trek episodes?
Two Star Trek episodes.
Of was it the original series?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, so you've seen no other Star Treks?
No.
Wow.
Oh, no, I saw some, like, Next Generation ones.
Okay.
A couple of those as well.
All right.
Because people are talking about it, so well, maybe this is good.
As they do, yeah, people do talk about that. They used to talk about The Hobbit, now they're talking about Star Trek. Word on the street, hear the buzz.
You're on the bus, or you're on, you know, and then...
Yeah, what's this Borg I'm hearing so much about? Let's go see what the young people are watching.
Yeah, what is this Borg you speak of? And then, that's awful. So that's what I discovered.
Okay.
But I don't know if I'm just saying,
this is our first episode, and what you're basically doing is you're going on the internet and going, hey, you know what's awful? Batman. Okay, hey, you know what else really sucks? Star Trek.
I like Batman.
So how do you feel about that, internet?
I like Batman.
Okay, well, I'm just telling you right now, we're not having a message board. Okay? Because I'm not putting up with that.
So you shouldn't say that you don't like Star Trek?
No, you can say it. I'm just saying if you say it on the internet. Okay, well, what's better about Star Wars than Star Trek?
Well, the Star Trek that I saw. Okay, one is the 2-hour episode where Kirk fights a lizard thing, guy with a lizard mask on.
Okay, that would be the Gorn.
And then the other.
Wait, that wasn't 2 hours. That was just a proper 1-hour show, I think.
Felt like 2 hours.
Fair enough.
Then there was the...
I stand not corrected.
The episode where Spock talks to a glowing rock thing.
That was the first episode I ever saw. It terrified me, that.
Did it terrify you?
Well, yeah, because it was just this... It's creature... Like,
but I can melt through rock.
And through people. That was the thing. It was burning people.
And then, but then Spock could put his hands on it.
Yeah, I don't really know what
that seems odd.
The story was with
he
that.
He should have melted more.
I do know he did, like, pain.
It should have been a hand melt, not a mind meld. That's what should have happened.
Well, maybe Vulcans are very strong-skinned. I don't know. The idea of, like, this... Like, as a kid, I was take a drink. As a kid, I was prepared for monsters that look kind of human, that mm-hmm. were a little bit different. But I wasn't mm-hmm. prepared for blob-type monster, which I guess I'd never seen the blob at that point. It was a rip-off of the blob, now I'm thinking about it. Like, a direct... Like, that was blatant.
Yeah.
Anyway, so...
It probably was the blob. They probably just used the prop from the blob, and they just moved it onto
I heard what they did was, when they needed ideas for the show, they would walk through the wardrobes, and they go, we got a lot of Roman outfits, they go to a Roman world. We got a lot of cowboy outfits, you're on a cowboy world. Nazi outfits, Nazi world. And
it's all making perfect sense now. It's making even more sense than it did before.
But it wasn't, you know, it was kind of Twilight Zone-y in the way it tried to teach lessons, whereas Next Generation was just really, everything was sterile and no one was having fun and everyone was really grumpy. Like all of the future had just a stick up its ass at that point. It was just, ugh, you know. Even the guy who was the tough wild man, Worf, was just all like, just,
hey, this sort of grumpy.
Yeah.
He was really wild, man.
Yeah.
More of a grump.
Yeah, just more of a... He was an Oscar the Grouch.
He was the Oscar Grouch. He had a garbage can on the deck.
Yeah. And once an episode...
Where did he pop up with the garbage can? What do you want?
And once...
I like trash.
Yeah, that's it. So you have seen the show. That's good.
I remember it so well. I wonder I didn't think much of it.
Well, here's what Worf did almost every episode. Worf would be on the bridge, and he'd be doing some busy work. That's what he'd do. He'd be doing some typing. He'd be doing some temp work.
There's an awful lot of work on those futuristic spaceships.
Right.
Require a lot of maintenance.
And apparently, like, if you're standing right behind the captain, you don't get a seat. Like, everyone mm-hmm. else gets a nice seat, plush mm-hmm. cushion. You're all mm-hmm. lounging. And it's like,
yeah,
hey.
He had a garbage can.
Yeah. Well, he did not have a garbage can. But he'd be there doing some typey-typey work, mm-hmm. and then someone would attack and go, well, we're going to kill you. And Worf would go, let me kill them. And the captain would go, no, we're not going to kill him. And then Worf would look sad and want to kill him, but he wouldn't.
Oh,
and like every
Worf.
Almost every episode, that's what happened.
So
which
he would go and kill things in the holodeck. Holodeck? Holodeck? How do you say it?
Yeah. It's holodeck, spelled. which was, the holodeck was not a good idea. The holodeck, which basically went, hey, you know what? We're bored of our show, too. What if we go have a... Like, if you... These are people who live in the future. They got all this technology. You can go into space. You can go to any world you want to. Oh, my Lord. You can do all these things. Hey, do you want to pretend like we're mystery solvers in Sherlock Holmes time? Yeah, let's go play. What? And then it's just... What do you... You easily distracted morons. Just get back to the bridge and start looking through space. Find that cancer cure. Like, get on it.
Yes.
You got a job to do.
I think I can sum up the difference between Star Wars and Star Trek very simply, and here it is. When I saw Star Wars, I was in grade 5. When I saw Star Trek, I was in grade 12. I didn't even like Star Wars in grade 12. Return of the Jedi? I didn't like that movie at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's 2 hours of them fighting in front of a door. Like some sort of laser battle in front of a door for like most of the movie.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a long time in front of that door.
It's not a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That movie. I mean, it has the chase thing through the redwoods.
Through the woods? Yeah.
That's fun.
That's good.
Name another high point.
Sarlacc pit.
At the beginning?
They're fighting over that giant pit that like dissolves you for a thousand years.
It's got teeth in it or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good sequence. It's kind of the same things I liked about seeing Phantom Menace and all those other movies. Is it's fun to see the Jedi being a Jedi. Like actually doing Jedi tricks. Not, you know, being kind of wimpy or having his hand cut off because he's not there yet. But, you know.
They liked
wimpy. That's not really wimpy. I'm going to go and save people. That's kind of brave, actually. So it's not very fair.
Yeah, you said some things about the Jedi on this podcast that I think you'll regret, and I appreciate taking it back.
What do you mean? I feel like...
That was really Sith talk there, Dave. Someone made a good description of the last three movies, like the prequels,
okay, which was... You're in trouble now.
No, it's just like they took essentially what was 10 seconds of dialogue with Obi-Wan and Luke and made three movies out of it. You know, I knew your dad. He turned on this. He did this. And it's like, okay. Hey, how about 9 hours of movie from that?
Yeah.
Like, no, we get it. That's fine. We're on board. We hear you.
Because is either direction interesting though? Okay, you have one that's sort of like your prequels,
right?
Telling a story that you kind of already know.
Okay,
because this filling in information that's given in the movies.
Yeah, you're really like there's no surprises in the whole thing.
The other option is to go into the future and have a sequel.
Boo.
But what is that about? Like, they've just defeated the Empire. So now it's a lot of boring political wrangling as people are trying to, you know, are they going to be independent planets? Are we going to have, like, what kind of political system are we going to have?
Or you pull an Alien 3, Terminator 3, and just go, hey, you remember that happy ending from movie 2? Screw that. It didn't work, you know, and you start off, Leia's dead, and then you start off with that, and then you go, yeah, well, I mean, look at Alien 3, you know, Alien 2.
Yeah, what a great movie.
Yeah, like Alien 2, the whole thing, we're rescuing the girl, and like, it didn't work. The Alien 3 tells you it didn't work. That's terrible. Terminator 3. Hey, you know what? You can change the future. The future's flexible. Man makes your own destiny. No, you can't. Time can't be removed. Yeah, you fail. You just give up. You're like, blah. You know, just forget it.
That's a good chase sequence with the fire engine.
Yeah.
Is that Terminator 3?
Yeah, it's fine. There's good sequences.
You know, Schwarzenegger paid for that sequence?
No, I didn't know that.
You mean
artistically he really paid for it?
No, they weren't going to use it in the film. This is what I heard. They weren't going to use it in the film because it was too expensive, and so he put up the cash for it.
No, that's...
It's a good sequence.
I feel... It is a good sequence. I feel neutrally about that he paid for it.
Oh, yeah.
Because, one, it's like, hey, you know what that millionaire did? Put a couple of bucks
billion,
in.
I think it's more... maybe he's a multimillionaire, not a billionaire. But...
You're right. You don't want a sequel to Star Wars. The people say they do, because the only way you make that work is go like, hey, things really screwed up.
Or go so far into the future that it's something totally different.
Or go so far away from what's happened that the effects have not happened yet. Like, the Empire has spread out to another, you know, world. And, like, we got to go planet to planet and deal with... Because it doesn't all at once. Everyone goes, we give up! You know? There's got to be some equivalent of the Japanese on the island that doesn't know the war is over. And you got to go deal with those guys.
Yeah, see, no, that doesn't sound interesting, though, really. Even, you have to admit, doesn't sound that great.
Nope. It does not at all. No, you got to bring in another enemy, but then again, like, you know, what are you going to do?
What you do is you do a movie that opens with in a galaxy far, far away, just like the whole Star Wars thing, and then it's just a movie based on Earth.
Okay.
And it has no reference at all to Star Wars at all.
Okay.
It's just like a regular movie.
Sure. You know what that's called? Every other movie.
Yeah, exactly. But they just have a rule.
I think Saw works as that.
If you put the Star Wars role in front of it...
You just play the music for no reason.
No, you have to have like the disappearing or the coming at you roll thing.
Oh, I know what the roll. Yeah, yeah.
And then the music playing.
Yeah.
And then you just start the movie.
Okay, sorry.
And you just say that it's a Star Wars.
Sorry, I just thought of something that's terrible. Okay, so they're re-releasing the movies in 3D, right? Now that roll, are they going to make that in 3D?
Yes.
Ugh! They are, aren't they?
Of course they are.
Of course they are.
Of course they are.
Look, the only reason to make that Star Wars movie in 3D, you just need that first scene, the ship's being chased, and then that ship after it, and then all you do is you just go, hey folks, that was enough of that. You know, we're done.
That would be cool, and then the lightsaber battles would be interesting in 3D.
How so?
Because it would be coming out at you, like as they're swinging the lightsaber, it would seem to be... No, that doesn't sound like it. It sounded interesting, and then it didn't suddenly.
No, I'm glad. Like, you really did commit to the first part of that sentence, and I was with you, and I wanted to see where it was going to go.
Yeah,
but that was a real Star Wars set on Earth that has nothing to do with Star Wars.
How about the hyperdrive?
Yeah, that'd be fine. Yeah, it'd be okay.
How about that sequence where they're fighting the? You know what? The movie doesn't need any of that junk. Like, it's so good on its own. Have you watched it recently?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it for a long time.
It's pretty...
I wonder how it would hold up for me.
Do you know, it's weird watching the first one because Luke is so whiny off the top that it's kind of laughable, but that works for his character.
Yeah.
It completely works for the character. I feel sorry for... Finally, by the way, someone is addressing the whole prequel controversy on the internet. I'm glad we're covering this ground.
Finally.
This is
People
great.
Have been clamoring for this.
That's right. Won't someone please talk about
it? How many message boards? What are message boards?
But I'm just picturing like if you're like a little kid, you know, what do you watch first? Do you watch the New Hope first, and then watch those three movies, the prequels, or do you watch the prequels first? Because if you watch the prequels first, then there's no surprises at all through the regular movies.
I think if you watch the prequels first, you would never get to watch the other three movies.
Because you just go forget it.
You'd just be like, this is hopeless.
Well, you'd be
it's never getting any better.
A New Hope. Yeah, it's hopeless, and then A New Hope starts, and you go, wait, you're right.
Wait a second.
It would also go like the busiest, you know, just so much everything, every detail filled. It's like in comics when you have like an artist who's new and they fill every little detail and they don't give the drawing any room to breathe. It's just like if you watch that the Revenge of the Sith and all that business, and then you watch A New Hope, it would just be like, oh man, it's just open air, just so much room, just like wait, it's that, so slow
isn't it
moving.
Filled,
so,
isn't it all filled with
when you walk, when you go in? There's really nothing you can fill it with. Luckily, off the top, because like when you're on Tatooine and you're like in the whatever vapor farm, there's nothing. You can't have like a bunch of stuff. You can't have like kangaroos going behind them or anything.
What do they grow in that place?
Yeah, it's weird.
It's all sand.
Okay, yeah, sand. And as my sister-in-law Vicky points out, you've got water worlds. You can get water. There's no problem. Water's over there. Mm-hmm. And apparently everyone's got a spaceship. People can go to space. It's fine. You don't need vapor. It's fine. It makes very, very little sense. But if you watch the prequels first, then the whole thing of like Luke going and like meeting Yoda, yeah, they all know who Yoda is. Yeah, so all that, like, you know, who is he? Who's this guy?
Yeah,
and then the whole,
right.
I'm your dad. Yeah, we know. We just watched three movies that were like the whole thing. Guess what about your sister? Yeah, we know. We're all on board. We completely got that.
Well, I think a caring father or mother would play the first three films, the original three films for their children, and then publicly pee on the last three.
Well, it would also be so disturbing. Like I was thinking about this because, you know, I was kind of wanting to show my nephew, you know, and my niece these movies. It gets really weird when you get to Anakin because, like, you know, Phantom Menace. There are aspects that I think they'd enjoy, like they like the pod racing. Here's a little kid. He was a slave, but he broke out of that.
Mm-hmm.
But by the end. That kid is evil, killing children. He said he's being set on fire. Like, it's horrific. And I can't think of any other fictional character that you would start off with as a kid and identify with that turns into Super Hitler, you know, by the end. You know? That's a weird journey. It's like starting with a character, and he ends up as the Nazi from Raiders who gets his face melted off. You know, but you start off with, like, little Fritz.
So I guess you have to watch the... the original three films.
Uh-huh.
Then you watch the prequels.
Uh-huh.
Then you have to watch the original three films again.
Yeah, you could do that. Yeah, I still think it's a weird journey for a kid. Yeah, because he does get redeemed.
He does. There is some redemption after they spend 2 hours fighting in front of a door. Darth Vader's character, and it's the most disappointing reveal in all the history of cinema, right? When they take his helmet off.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
Oh.
That's, what?
Well, I guess he would be pale. He doesn't get really out into the sun much.
He doesn't, but.
Yeah. Pale, okay. There you go.
Unattractive.
What, did you want to be sexy?
He's a potato.
Yeah, he has kind of Mr. Potato Head. Well, they did do that. They made like a Darth Vader Mr. Potato Head, and it was like, bang on, man. You just take that off and like, yeah, you got it. That's 100%. I'm with you. There's a couple of things with the prequels. If I could just fanfic for a little bit here, if you don't mind.
I'll sit back.
All right, you just sit back and fanfic. It was weird that they had Darth Vader having built C-3PO. Right, but my idea with C-3PO was, there must be some dark secret to C-3PO then that they're going to reveal later, because there's no point in having him here. He does nothing. We have already got the comedy relief of Jar Jar Binks. You don't need, if you've got like Abbott and Costello, you don't need to bring Laurel and Hardy in as well. We're okay. So I thought, oh well, you got Anakin. He's building this thing. He's a slave. His mom's a slave. He wants to not be a slave. Mm-hmm. C-3PO is like a hidden, you know, robot that like looks really fey, but like in some ways like a real good killing machine. And at some point he could like say a word and C-3PO could go nuts, which would be great if like in the future Darth Vader recognizes, hey, it's C-3PO, and says the code word, and just blades come out and just goes on this manic like killing spree.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you justify C-3PO and like, that's why he's so fey, because he's like covering up for being, he's actually Darth Vader's robot. A nice little surprise, but of course we're not going to do that. Anakin's mom going, oh, he's got no dad. And everyone goes, yeah, that's all right. And I'm taking that completely fine.
Yeah.
I was thinking, okay, well, Anakin has some Jedi powers.
Maybe it's common in the future.
To, like, be born without a dad?
Yeah.
Well, will the midichlorians doing that business?
Oh, does it say he has no dad, or that his dad is...
No, he had no dad. He's basically like, he's the equivalent of a virgin birth.
Oh, he's supposed to be like, oh.
Yeah, so what I was thinking with that was, Anakin has Jedi powers, right? So his Jedi powers are, these aren't the droids you're looking for, clouding people's minds. I think Anakin at some point killed his dad, and mom went, hey, where's dad? And like being a little kid, first thing, I don't have a dad. Oh, that's right. You never had a dad. And so everyone's like taking that into account. It's like, oh, okay. Like he's got that ability. Then he meets Padme, sorry. And he thinks, I love you. And all of a sudden she's like, I love you too. You know, there's no reason she'd love this little kid. Next time she sees him, I'm in love with you.
Yeah.
And so he's using his Jedi powers for the whole thing, and that makes him nice and dark and evil from the get-go. Mm-hmm. And he just, like, you know, he could go either way instead of just this little innocent angel that all of a sudden, as I say, you know, becomes super Osama bin Laden by the end. And there we go.
Wow. Well,
I've nerded you out. I apologize.
You have. I was kind of drifting off there. If you could be in my mind, you would have seen me like skipping through a field with a butterfly net, chasing a pretty butterfly, singing a little song. La 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 la. Come here, butterfly.
Well, no one can deny that's a pretty song.
Someone can.
If I had the option of either being hearing myself tell that story or hearing the la 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 song as you're skipping through your head,
it wasn't completely accurate, my singing of it. It was much much more beautiful in my head.
Okay.
Well, I think on that note.
Really? That insulting. Well, that was the most boring story I ever heard. Really? That song in your head is garbage. Thanks for listening.
We trapped each other. Now that we both hurt each other to the very core.
That's right. We've really hurt each other's feelings. I think that's when every podcast should end, is like, when have you opened yourself up, exposed yourself, and then had your feelings truly hurt? Well, we'll be back next week.
Well, I hope that your feelings weren't truly hurt.
No, they weren't at all, no.
After nerding out with some sort of long Star Wars fanfic.
Look, man, if that's not
what... Can I do my Harry Potter slash fiction?
You sure can.
I'm just joking. I don't know what that means.
Really?
No.
Okay.
I've just heard of it. Like, what? We live in a world of osmosis. You don't have to know anything. You just have to be able to say it.
That is true. That is true. That's true in politics. That's true in life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that is the takeaway from this. If we have in any way osmosed you, then I think we've done our job here.
Apparently, we're getting no message board out of this.
No, we are not. Not at all. You're not going on there going like Star Trek sucks and then like opening up a message board on the internet. We're not. That's like going into the bad part of town and like putting racial slur shirts out.
It sounds amazing.
Okay. Well, I will let you take care of the message board. And all right. What we're basically saying is we may have a message board, but we're not sure. The website that you're looking at this on, or you know, following us on, check. There's possibly a message board, and if so, please tell.
Fulfillment.
Okay.
Why not? Open yourself up.
Have you met the internet?
Someone has searched. They're like, I love Star Trek. Well, here's a show that mentions it. I'll have to listen to this.
Right.
What?
Yeah, that person has enough time.
How did he put down the Gorn?
Someone, okay, I just pictured, all right, there's a person who's right now going on the internet going, you know what, I like Star Trek. Let's see if anyone's talking about that online. And I'm going to check out every site. Clickety-clackety-click.
Well, okay, he's a jaded Star Trek.
You're making this a male. For sure it's a male. All right.
Okay, she's a jaded.
It's not a female.
I was just going to say, I'm picturing a jaded Star Trek fan who's been to every site, who's seen it all, and yet this pops up in his Google thing.
Google Alerts, yeah.
Google Alerts. And he's like, Star Trek.
Yeah. Once again, I'm picturing a guy who's got a Google alert.
Oh, he's a guy, is he?
Okay, well, I'm just picturing, all right, I'm picturing a person who's got a Google alert, and the Google alert is for Star Trek. Every morning, opening up his email, and his computer just melts, and he has to buy a new one every day.
He's a fan.
I'm sure he is. And we're glad to have him listening. If that's you, please write to Dave and let him know. All right, yeah, let's wrap this up. That's fun. That sounds fine.
Goodbye. This has been Sneaky Dragon.
This has been Sneaky Dragon indeed. I've been Ian Boothby.
I've been David Dedrick.
We're in Vancouver, Hell Kitty Studios. This was our first episode. I apologize for the bits you didn't like. I hope you liked some bits that you might have liked. And we'll be back again shortly. See you later.